And welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome you all to episode 21, where today I will be continuing the conversation about autism and music. Now, music has played a huge role in autism and how it emotionally, mentally, verbally, and physically helps us that are on the autism spectrum. Music has been found to help autistic individuals express their emotions and even get through those sensory overloads. Music has also been the passions and the careers of evolving up-and-coming artists, such as that of my next guest. My next guest is an up-and-coming rapper and performer who has performed all across the United States. He is here to talk about his musical journey as an autistic musician and how he uses his music platform to spread hope and encouragement for other autistic and disabled individuals. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Charles Quiglis III, a.k.a. C-Quig. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me, man. Great introduction.
Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule already to do this. I know that you have a lot that's going on right now. You have a lot of projects up and coming in the works, but just hearing a little bit more about you and the work that you've done, I think it's absolutely inspiring of what you've already accomplished in your life. And I had a previous episode where I talked to another musical guest where we talked a little bit about his musical journey. And I love being able to hear a little bit more about how music plays such a huge role in autism and how it really affects us and really helps us in a strange way as it sounds. So I'm really happy that you're here. We could talk a little bit more about your journey.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's been a roller coaster for sure.
Absolutely. So when I have a guest on, I usually like to start at the very beginning. So my first question for you, C-Quig, is when were you first diagnosed autistic? When did you first find out that you were autistic? And what was your reaction to all of it?
So I was very young. I was about 3 years old, when I first got diagnosed. Around that time, my memory is a blur. Around that time when I got diagnosed, doctors actually told me that I wouldn't be able to have a verbal conversation, meaning I wouldn't be able to, you know, talk to you like how I am right now. And my parents were worried. My mom especially. I remember them telling me how she was in tears and like she was a little scared and didn't know what to do. And my dad was like, "Hey, he's like, hey, we can move about this now, but we finna get to the bottom of this." So my dad, who's actually a chiropractor, by the way. Yeah. So he actually treated me when I was younger. He used his little treatment tools and lasers and things like that while I was sleeping. And then somehow along the way, I was talking, and if it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't be able to even get on the microphone and say what I even need to say for real.
It's really interesting how your parents were so observant and they knew what was going on at that time. And the fact that your dad was a chiropractor and he was able to figure out while you were asleep, it's amazing. I didn't even know you could even do that. Tell me a little bit about your life growing up autistic. What was that like for you?
Oh, um, a lot of, I guess you can say it's kind of a roller coaster. I say you're gonna hear me say that a lot, bro. I say that a lot, mm-hmm. roller coaster, cause it's crazy. That's how crazy it all is. But you know, it's a roller. But yeah, growing up, it was just a lot of it was cool, but it was also a lot of there was also a lot of there's a lot of rough edges on the road, you know. Like growing, like I got bullied, like I know I got bullied a lot growing up, yeah. especially in like elementary school. There was even one kid that would give me wedgies at one point. Yeah.
Really?
Not fun, by the way. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know where he's at. But anyway. I got bullied a lot, and of course, you started, and of course, when you get bullied like that a certain amount of times, you kind of question self-esteem a little bit, you know, I did have issues with that, and then in fact I still have it. Like I even still have a few issues with that to this day. Yes, I just kind of learn, you know. I just kind of learn to just deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And just go about my day. Because well, one, look where I'm at, and look we're there. Look we're there at. Like that guy gave me a wedding. I have no clue where he is. So like,
exactly, as if he can only look into a crystal ball and see where you're at. I have to say, we kind of come from similar experiences. Like, I've never gotten a wedgie, but in terms of just like being bullied and having your self-esteem questioned and having your confidence sort of kind of put into this little box where you feel that you're not special enough. I know exactly where you've come from.
Yeah.
It's those traumatic experiences that are so traumatizing that people don't fully realize of how much that does for an autistic individual. It's a matter of when you grow up and you realize it never fully goes away. Like, yeah, the actions are no longer there, but the trauma from it, it's still kind of has this everlasting linger, if that makes any sense.
And you start to question yourself a lot too, and it's like, man, what's going on? It's like, yes. You know, why are people like, you know, why are people like this, man? And you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you got the really true homies that come mm-hmm. that come through, and they know who they are, and then I guess there's one beautiful thing about the bullies and like haters, they make you try hard for real, that's what drove me into music for real. Cause you know, back then people having autism, you know, a lot of people didn't really know about that, and like it would just be straight up, like if you explain yourself back then, it would just be straight up confusion, and I thought like maybe if I explain myself, you know, explain myself and, you know, explain my life in a way that, you know, people would enjoy and understand it and enjoy it, you know, they would leap leave me alone a little bit.
Let's actually talk a little bit about what got you into music. What was your inspiration for starting to sing and write songs? Was it a certain musical genre growing up? Was it a certain musician that inspired you to make your own music?
I loved music growing up. I think music has been a part of me for about as long as I can remember. At first it was all hobby, and then what happened was I did theater in middle school. I did a couple shows. And then after the first year I did it, that's when I kind of realized that it made me realize how much I liked the stage, not just that year, but the years prior to that moment. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize that, man, let me just go ahead and do music and like I said, I had a nice story to go along with it too. So why not incorporate that? And then as far as inspirations go, there was a ton I had growing up, and my catalog is very expansive. We got Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. we got Kid Cudi, Travis Scott, those some of the main ones for real. But the amount of inspirations and artists I listen to is very expansive.
People don't realize that music is so universal, and the catalogs that people listen to, especially autistic people, can be so expansive in especially different genres, you know, hip hop, pop, classical, country. People don't realize, because music is so universal. And I think what you said there, it's so expansive, and it gave you that outlet to really start sort of spreading that message. And so with that being said, I want to actually take you back to about a decade ago, to 2016, when you released your first video on YouTube called Autism. It was a raw cut, and you rap about living autistic so authentically that one of the lyrics in that song says, quote, "I might have autism and rap old school, but I've done things that are really cool." I like that rhyme. What made you decide almost a decade ago that you wanted to put yourself out there so openly and so honestly?
Ooh, you did your homework. Oh.
Well, that's what this podcast is all about, is always doing the homework before guests come on.
And it's like, I did a lot of those, but damn, that made me go back a bit. Like the fact that it was a decade ago, man, I gotta do something big for that then. Yeah, just going back to what I said about the bullies making me try harder, and of course theater. And of course, around that time, that's when I was starting to get a little curious about my disability, I was having conversations, and I was talking to my parents about it, and that's when they told me all these stories, you know, about when I got diagnosed, and that part where I talked about when I wasn't able to have a verbal conversation at first. Mm-hmm. That was the part that really struck me the most and made me feel like I had a story. I had a story to tell. I had kind of a story that I can tell that no one's really heard from a lot of people, to say that I almost didn't have a voice and I came out and I get to come out and tell my story in my own words. That's what kind of drove me to do it was to inspire people, let them know that don't let your disability or whatever you have get in the way of whatever you want in life. And I've been saying that for years, and I always try to stay true to it.
It's the passion and the drive that keeps us on the spectrum going, because a lot of people don't fully realize is that autistic people go through things, but when an autistic person takes their passion and what they enjoy most in life, they take it and they accelerate it far beyond what anyone thinks is possible. And I think that what you mentioned about being able to be so authentically yourself at such a young age is hugely applaudable. And what I love about it now is that you mentioned earlier about you have no idea what the people in your life have treated you or up to now, but it's kind of like, if they really want to know what you're up to, they can just easily listen to your music on Spotify or watch you tour around the world. I mean, that's not a good sense of vengeance.
Then I don't know.
Exactly, catch you on a billboard. Exactly,
on the billboard, social media, they'll just get tired of seeing my face.
They have to get used to it. That's just the reality. Autism is not going anywhere.
Like, remember you tried to stomp on me? Guess what? I'm everywhere.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And we just growing too.
The best is truly yet to come for sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but according to your official website, you are 23 years old and a full-time college student studying commercial music while you're working on your musical craft as a rapper, singer, and performer. How do you balance your passion of being an up-and-coming performer and your full-time commitment to college at the same time? I personally could not do it, and I definitely was not able to do that when I was in college.
Yeah. So a bit of an update, and then I'm gonna answer your question anyway. So I'm actually not in school at the moment. So I actually took a break from it. So I actually can do the music. Full time. Yeah, very stressful. Not all gummy drops and rainbows, kids. But yeah, very stressful at the time. I remember when I was really starting to travel for my music. That was the most stressful part when I get booked for all these things, because it had to align with my school schedule.
Yes.
And also the fact that I didn't really have a car. I didn't really have a car at the time. So like, really? When I go to these shows, it's been me and my dad. Mm-hmm. This man traveled, basically my manager, he travels with me everywhere. But nah, this man had to drive 2 hours to come, 2 hours there to come pick me up, 2 hours back, catch a flight.
Catch a flight.
We're there usually a weekend. And then we take a early flight back. And then I'm at home. And then I go home for a bit. And then I'm driving back. And then I'm driving back. And then I'm driving back to school. It was a lot at the time. It took a really big mental toll on me. I felt like I had to kind of take a step back from the school stuff because that's where most of the stress came from. Yeah, man, it was definitely a roller coaster, but we're still out here too. We're still out here. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the college homies that are watching. That's one thing about college that I miss, the homies. Mm-hmm. Having that community.
Yeah, having that supportive community in college is such an important aspect for an autistic student that I don't think people realize. But the good thing about college is that you can always go back at any time in your life. There's not necessarily a time span for you to go and get a degree like a lot of people think. Society has put this weird pressure on our generation that, oh, you need to go to college within 4 years and graduate from that in 4 years. But that's not always the case, especially in our autism community. It can take years before we get a degree. And some people even take the time off. And it's so nice that it's finally being seen as accepting that, hey, I need to take time away from school to focus on me, to focus on your music, and actually have it be seen as socially acceptable. It's super important, especially in these times.
Yeah, you're heavy on the nail. So I'm gonna tell you something. So my mom, we butted. So over the years, we butted heads a lot about school. I don't know what her mindset is completely. Mm-hmm. But she was always very pushy about me and finishing school. Like even when I left school, mm-hmm. me and her butted heads a lot. She was not very excited when I left, and that became a whole situation within itself. Yeah, just like you said, bro, like that even effects like that just kind of take that sort of mental toll because I'm not gonna lie. When I left school, I felt like it was just me against the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was me. It was kind of like me, myself against the world. Even though people said they supported me, there's also a side of you that also thinks you kind of failed them a bit, you know, mm-hmm. that you feel like that you like you kind of feel like a fail. You fail failure. And I'm not gonna lie, it did feel like I was kind of guilt that there's been times where I felt like I've been guilt-tripped into going back, mm-hmm. into going back, and it was like there was just so much, at the time where going mm-hmm. on the time where I just didn't have the energy.
Yeah,
like I don't like I was burnt out. I was just
yes.
I was burnt out. You know, people wanted expecting so much from me out of everything. You know, like I love music. It was like I love music, and I want to make my family, my people's happy and everything else. But when it comes to a certain level, it's like sometimes you got to choose between one or the other. At that moment, I wanted to take the path that I wanted to take, and that was music.
And something that you brought up is so important that I do not think the neurotypical people understand is that autistic burnout is a huge thing. When we are put in extremely stressful environments, that can cause our mental health to go way over our heads because we are so focused on impressing others that we don't take the time to truly focus on what we as an individual want to do with our lives. And so I think that you really hit the nail on the head with the fact that, hey, school is always going to be there. It's not going to go away, but right now this is an important time of my life where my music matters more than education. And there's really nothing wrong with that. You know, life is meant to happen for a reason. And at that time in your life and in this time in your life, music is really the focal point. And I really applaud you for being so vocal and open and honest about it, because a lot of people would just cave in and say, hey, I'm going to still stay at school, you know, and focus on that. Whereas other people are just saying, you know what, school will always be there, but right now my career, this is where it's going, and I'm gonna go this way. And I actually want to talk a little bit about your music. Yeah. You were able to achieve a lifelong dream of releasing your own music when you released your debut album Young Dreamers in 2022. Now, what was the inspiration behind your first album, and are there any standout songs on the album that mean the most to you?
Young Dreamers, it was definitely a moment within itself. I made in the span of 3 years. Graduating out of high school, going into college, doing college. I was that kid, you know, being that kid, you know, with a big dream, big dreams, and trying to exceed myself, try to get to where I needed to be. Around that time, man, I was motivated. I had people looking at me. Around that time, the Flutie Foundation was coming towards me with all these different opportunities. Like I was just blessed, man. And I know that like at this day, and it was like at this stage in the game, by working this hard and getting these many opportunities, I feel like you get this feeling of you gonna make it.
Yes.
Like you ain't there yet, but you finna get there. And plus I did like a Super Bowl like fashion show. So mm-hmm. one year. And that's what really boosted me. Just going to LA and doing a gig surrounding the Super Bowl. I'm like, who gets to do that, man? Who gets to do that? I just wanted to channel all that and the positive energy and I was keeping up, and of course I wanted to keep up with the theme of the positive music and like being an inspiration to people, because that was always my main thing. That was always mm-hmm. my main thing in terms of music, talking about my life at the time, while also giving people some awesome life lessons, like, and try to give them some real life advice that, you know, that at least I keep with me. The album has something for everybody. I like to say I like to say that my music sometimes is like a spectrum, because it's because you know how when you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism.
Yep.
Well, when you hear one C-Quig song, you only hear one C-Quig song. So
listen to Oh, I like that.
There you go. There you go.
That is really cool. Actually, I like the comparison. If you heard just one song from this album, you really only heard one song. That is such a great analogy right there in itself.
Thank you. I came up with that one not too long ago, actually. But yeah, some favorites. There's so many, but I'm going to name some of them. And anyway, we got Focus.
Mm-hmm.
We got Knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We got this song, Blue. Blue's my fave. Blue. That's my favorite song. And then the album closer, Living Life. But to be real, but the whole album, all bangers though. You gotta listen to the whole thing. You gotta listen to the whole thing. Is and then same with my first EP too, Against All Odds. You gotta listen to the whole thing again. Something for everybody.
What I love what you just said there is that you have to listen to the whole EP or listen to the whole album. That is so accurate, because we live in a time where our era of how we grew up with music, where you actually buy the whole album, is kind of not a thing anymore. You just listen to maybe one or two songs from the album and that's it. It shouldn't be the case. Every song on an album is super important and it adds up. And what I love hearing you saying is that you have to listen to the whole extended play or listen to the whole album, because if you heard one song, it's only just one song. It's a spectrum of music. And that is so amazing that you make that analogy. It's because we really only listen to just one or two songs from an album. We really don't get to enjoy the full product of an album that an artist has worked their whole lives for. So I am definitely going to have to check out Young Dreamers for sure. Now, on this last episode of this podcast, I had Rachel Barcelona as my guest, which is someone that I know you know very well. And she talked about a foundation that you both belong to. You are currently a member of the Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism, and also sang and wrote on their collaborative album, Stars of the Spectrum. What did it mean for you to be a part of this project? And what did it mean for you to share the stage this past summer with legendary R&B icon Faith Evans?
Ooh, what a summer. Come on, man. First off, Faith Evans, that was awesome to be able to share the stage with her. Yeah, it was so cool. I grew up listening to Faith, listening to some of her songs. And the fact that I ended up on her stage is incredible. Not the flex, but I also got a follow from her as well on Instagram. So
mm-hmm. She follows you on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, she follows me on Instagram. And then fun fact, that wasn't even the first time I met Faith. So,
really?
Yeah, man. I did a show back in, it was like 2022. It was in Houston. It was an event. She was there. She was getting honored. And I was slated to perform. I got a photo op with her. And she straight up said, this boy look just like Babyface.
Oh, that must have been such a great comment coming from probably one of the best singers in R&B soul music of the 90s and the 2000s. That must have been huge for you.
Oh, man. I geek, man. Especially when I got that Instagram follow. And that was through conversation. That Instagram follow happened through conversation. Like, we ran into each other, man, that same night. And we talked a little bit. And this woman personally asked on my Instagram. I was like, hey, and I gave it to her, and I was like, here you go, pleasure to share the stage with you. Happy as a clown, man. Went home feeling like nobody could tell me yet.
There's honestly nothing like meeting one of your idols that you have grown up listening to for a long, long, long time, but then to have that idol actually tell you that you're something special and to keep in touch with you after all this time. That's a friendship in itself, and I think that's absolutely phenomenal. Now, to end a pretty phenomenal 2024 for you, which I know that you have had, you dropped a new single called Take Some Time. What inspired you to write this song, and is there a new album from you in the works?
Ooh, yeah, Take Some Time was, it was definitely something, man. I love that song. I love that song for real. Take Some Time came about last year. So for a couple years now, I've had this little studio. Yeah, it started off as an intern. And while being here, I've actually gotten deep into, producer bag a little bit. There was one day I came in. All I could think about was, Charlie Wilson and 80s music. And I was like, you know what? Let's make an 80s type song. And then, next thing you know, I just got cooking on a beat. And then, the lyrics just flow. Flew out of me. I was very proud of that record too. I don't know. It felt like my music was just transitioning in a way. Like I was giving people like a fresh taste of C-Quig this is how we coming. If you don't mind, I want to get back to your little Stars of Spectrum pressing.
Of course.
I just straight up talked about Faith and then skipped past the other. Stars album and Flutie, that meant a lot to me as well. I came into Flutie Foundation. I started working with the Flutie Foundation back in 2020. They asked me to be in a little Facebook live show, and ever since then they gave me another life in a time that it was uncertain if I would be able to even be an artist because it was during COVID. Ever since I started getting with them, I started traveling, bought a bunch of opportunities. I met my girlfriend over there. So I feel obligated to at least play a big role in their album. I'm on like half the album. Granted, like half the album, brother.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So not only you were able to be a part of like a good chunk of this album, but you also found a girlfriend while you were a part of this foundation. That's incredible. You kind of had a whole grand slam with that. That's amazing.
Yeah, man, he's the greatest too. We're still together to this day.
That's awesome.
We met literally at the first event I did at the Flutie Foundation, and she was there, and we just clicked instantly. We were like besties for a bit, and then one thing led to another, and then it's like the love just kind of grew, and then the love just kind of grew just slowly but gradually. And yeah, man, she's amazing, man. She really the best person out here, and I love her to death. Yeah, shout out my baby.
So my last question for you, C-Quig, is this. The music industry is beginning to open its doors to autistic talent and showcase the musical talents of Susan Boyle, Cody Lee, Aiden Boyer, and obviously you, of course, C-Quig. What types of advice would you like to give to all of those autistic kids out there who want to pursue a career in singing and songwriting while trying to find their voice?
My biggest thing is this. One, be yourself. Don't be afraid to do that. Because at the end of the day, somebody's going to love you regardless. So just stay true. So just stay true to that. And that audience is going to come through. It's going to come through as you go. Being authentic selves, like when I come on here and do interviews and things like that, and even when I'm on stage, man, I always like to come out there and just be authentic. You know what I'm saying? I don't like putting up a front. I don't like being fake. I already had to mask myself for most of my life. So it's like when I do music, music is supposed to be a way to really express myself. And yeah, don't let anybody stop. And don't let anybody stop you either. Because listen, the only person that can stop you is yourself. Let the haters keep talking. Just keep going, folks.
Exactly. Let the haters use you as motivators to continue to succeed.
Yes, sir. That's the thing. Haters are motivators.
I could not agree more fully to that. My personal thanks to C. Quick for coming on today and having such a wonderfully honest conversation. Make sure to check out his music, including his latest single, Take Some Time, on any streaming musical platform that you can think of, including Spotify and Apple Music. If you like what you heard on this episode and want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you next time right here on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.